Hi, this is Danai Gurira, and you're listening to the Walking Dead Girl podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to the Walking Dead Girl episode 121. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show, The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the show, we play listener feedback. So join the conversation.
So if you want to give us feedback, there's many ways. You can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. You can go to our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com/voicemail. And you can leave a voicemail feedback. We've played many of those in the past, and we'd like to hear some more from you guys. If you haven't received a t-shirt already, and you leave a voicemail and we play it, then you get a free The Walking Dead Girl t-shirt. Post a comment also on our Facebook page if you like, facebook.com/The Walking Dead Girl Podcast. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers. So make sure you've watched the current episode before listening. Okay. Welcome back.
Welcome back after our break.
It seemed like longer than the other breaks. I don't know. I think it's because so much happened.
Pent up anticipation.
Yeah.
Building up.
Rise up.
We want to see Rick rise up.
Yeah, I liked this episode, even though it wasn't as action heavy as other season premieres. I thought it was okay because it's a mid-season premiere and we needed to see the groups come together because that's what we predicted this whole time, right?
Yeah.
But we all predicted that they'd meet each other.
It didn't happen as we exactly predicted, like, because...
That is true.
As you saw in the episode, Rick and the group had a hard time finding
trying
people.
To get anybody to join.
It's like, rise up.
It wasn't really working.
Because we thought, yeah, they just go out and tell them, hey, let's go fight, and everybody comes along. But it's not as easy as we thought.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised the Hilltop didn't want to join in because Gregory is a douchebag and will always be a coward. Mm-hmm. But I was surprised when the Kingdom didn't really join in. And I think part of the reason why is because Morgan made up with this pathetic half excuse of, oh, there's some other way we could capture Negan and maybe then.
Well,
no.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't think Morgan affected it, though. Morgan has his own thing going on. I mean, that is separate from Ezekiel and the Kingdom. But I think Ezekiel has his own thing going on, too. So I don't know if Morgan influenced him that much. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't really buy the excuse, like King Ezekiel's excuse of, well, I put my people into danger and now they're disabled. Like,
he doesn't want to inflict more. He's been burnt, right? They went into a fight. They lost at one point in the past.
Yeah, but they didn't have Rick's group. Okay.
Yeah. And also, as Rick said, you know, we weren't fighting. You're not fighting walkers. You're fighting people, and for the future, like the walkers fight back. Like
these people fight back.
Yeah, they're not walkers, right?
And I'm pretty sure your people are more trained than they were last time.
Oh yeah,
if you want to save yourself, like the whole time every shot they shot of the Kingdom was of people training.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I understand the hesitation because they have a good with their agreement, whatever they think their agreement is.
Which is definitely going to fall apart. I think the show is making us...
Well, I mean, yeah, it's not instant. We're not going to get instant gratification.
they want us to work for it.
They want to make us work for it a little bit.
Yeah.
But overall, Dad, what did you think of the show?
I liked it. It's a different approach than the first half of the season. And later on, when we do our extra stuff at the end of this episode, we're going to talk about some comments that the showrunner made about Scott Gimple made about kind of the direction this half is going. But also creatively wise, it's kind of it's directed and filmed a little differently, right? Because in the first half, we had like every episode was an isolated story.
Yeah.
But this one, we noticed that we walked around in different places, but mainly because we were following the group, right?
And we see a lot of almost all of the characters in this episode from each group.
Yeah.
We got a shot of everyone.
Yeah, they threw a lot of stuff in there and come up to find. And at the end of the episode, we saw they found some new people, right?
Yeah. And I was thinking, if we're going to talk about the end for a little bit, they're all women. So I'm wondering if it's the group from Tara picked up.
No.
Because it's by the boat, which is by the water. Why did you shut me down for? What do you think?
Because there's guys in there.
I didn't see any guys. I saw mostly women, Dad.
Well, that's what happens when guys have long hair.
Then let's pull up the clips. Let's pull up the clip.
You know I'm right. It's
no,
just
it's
guys
not.
It's guys with long hair.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, they just fine. Have the guys have like they're hippies, okay?
Okay, fine. They have hoods and they can't tell.
They have hoodies. No, but they do have long hair. Like all the guys have long hair.
I don't know. All I saw was women, but maybe you're right.
Yeah, they had a lot of shots with women, but it was definitely a different group.
But I'm pretty sure he was smiling because he thought more people to recruit.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only excuse.
So we're pretty spot on that.
Pretty
much. All right, so let's get into the cold open. We have this very interesting moment where at this, what it looks like is Gabriel's betraying us. And I say us because we're all part of this collective group now. Okay. This is our family.
We're part of the group too. Well, it's a continuation of how the show ended last episode, where they showed this hooded figure, the boot guy, the guy who had the weird boots, who was at the boat location.
That was Gabriel?
He shows up at Alexandria, and they showed Gabriel looking out with his binoculars. And that's how this episode starts, is basically Gabriel looking out with his binoculars, and then he walks, he's flipping through his Bible and stuff. He's pretty calm. He ponders and then casually walks over to the food pantry, and then all of a sudden you see a ruckus, and he's messily packing up food. He looks upset and nervous and stuff. My interpretation of this is that there was somebody watching Gabriel standing guard, and then when Gabriel went to the food pantry, he got assaulted, like, hey. Maybe held at gunpoint or who knows what, and said, hey, you know, grab up all your food and you're coming with me.
But wouldn't you think that we would see a person if that's what it was supposed to be?
Well, they didn't show it. They didn't show it on purpose. It's mysterious.
Oh, that makes sense. Because like, how else would he know about the boat, right?
And yeah, he doesn't know about the boat. It's the other guy.
Okay, I believe that now. Because there was no way that Gabriel would know. And why? And those people did ambush them. I mean, yeah, they could have been ready already, but I'm pretty sure they knew they were coming.
It was the one guy who followed Rick from the boat to Alexandria with the boot. Well, I'm saying the boot guy because they showed his foot.
Yeah.
And basically he forced Gabriel because it's out of character. He's so calm and then all of a sudden he's packing stuff and leaving because Gabriel's changed. He's a good guy now.
He's Judith's protector, pretty much.
Yeah, he's a good guy now, and he's turned around. And
I'm glad that Rick saw that and said, you know, to Rosita, who, by the way, has been particularly negative in this show, in this episode. I mean, I understand why, considering. But I don't know. She just seemed like the antagonist of this episode because we didn't have a Negan at all. All we heard of Negan was his voice in the radio. So I felt like we needed somebody who was going to say, no, this is stupid to everything. And that was Rosita.
Well, Rosita was angry in this episode. And also Daryl. Daryl was angry too.
Yeah, he didn't want to be left behind at the kingdom.
And he was angry in multiple scenes. So like Rosita, this episode was like the angry Daryl episode. But Rosita had some angry lines too, I noticed, now that you mentioned
that. I totally did not expect her to lash out on Sasha like that.
Yeah, when that happened, I was like, dang!
I was like, oh my gosh, like drop that.
It's like drama.
If you ever thought that they bonded over Abraham's death, it was the exact opposite.
Well, because
and the funny thing is that Sasha wasn't trying to be buddy buddy with Rosita. She was just speaking her mind. She could have said it to anyone. I didn't understand why Rosita had to be so hostile.
Because Rosita's angry still.
Yeah.
She's angry about that situation. She's pissed off at, a dead person, but
okay.
Yeah. That was a touchy situation there. And yeah, so Rosita was angry and Daryl's angry. So yeah, I mean, another sign that Gabriel didn't mean to do it was that he drops the Bible, right? I mean, he's been holding that thing forever, right? It was a Bible that the pages were ripped out, and he actually spent a lot of time repairing it, right? He glued the pages. No, he ripped it out of anger against God, right? And then he found himself and found his place, and then he repaired it by taping up all the pages. So it means a lot to him, that Bible. So the fact that he drops it and leaves it behind makes no sense, right?
Yeah.
So he packs the car, pours in some gas. And that was creepy, the way that guy like crept up.
I know.
In the passenger seat. It's just like, oh. I'm like, oh my God.
I hate that. That's like my biggest fear.
It's spooky.
Yeah, I hate that.
Can you imagine like getting into a car and driving and all of a sudden some figure?
Dad, don't even talk about that. I'm in a dark room. Stop. I hate crazy people. I hate people trying to kill.
What's that behind you?
Dad, stop. That's not funny. I have a giant window. There's no... Okay. Let's move on.
I see something moving in the back there in the shadows.
Anyway, in the next after the credits, we have the Hilltop people. And Gregory is basically saying, look, I'm not going to antagonize these people.
I know everybody hates Gregory, but I think...
He's so funny!
But he's funny, like...
I love everything he says. He's, like, unapologetic.
Yeah. Like, everything that's not in my purview is not in my purview. Like, okay. He's like, I don't want to see it. I didn't see it, so I'm sorry. I don't know about it. I don't care about it. Like, like really? Like, oh my gosh. He's the ultimate, like... head in the sand guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, put your head in the sand and pretend it never happened kind of thing?
Pretty much.
Right? Meanwhile, the world's falling apart around you.
He doesn't care. He just wants to look up for himself. And it's not even he's looking up for the people in the Hilltop. No, he's looking up for himself. And I was wondering, does anybody live in that mansion besides him?
No, I don't think so.
Really? All the rooms in there and no one else lives in it?
Well, no, I'm stand corrected because I think... When the walkers broke in, I saw some people in the building, like on a balcony or something, okay, in the window. So maybe there's other people living in there. So
that would be the ultimate, like,
yeah,
couldn't even imagine. But
and again,
Maggie,
he calls Maggie by her Margaret or something. He called her.
Again. Here we go again. But Maggie's still with the group, right? Still with Gregory and the Hilltop.
Yeah, Maggie was there.
Oh yeah, she can't be back because technically Maggie is dead.
Who are you talking about?
I'm just wondering where Maggie is now. She's not at Alexandria. She's still at the Hilltop she's technically...
Yeah, Maggie is at Hilltop, but she's staying at Hilltop. She's not... Because she didn't leave when the group left. She stayed at Hilltop. I guess that's what you're trying to figure out. Yeah, so she stayed behind when the group left still. And
I'm glad, though, because then... Mm-hmm. Oh, no, never mind. Daryl's at the kingdom. I got them mixed up. Yeah.
Yeah, we have two people that are kind of... on the lamb, right? There's Maggie.
Like, Rick's supposed to be like, oh, Maggie's dead. I don't know where Daryl is.
Yeah. So Maggie's kind of a person that's missing that shouldn't be seen by Negan. And also Daryl should not be seen by Negan.
They already have the upper hand now, kind of, if you think about it, just because of that.
Because
they don't know where these people are.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Gregory, again, like we said, he's saying
you people swore you could take the survivors out and you failed. Any region we had is null and void. We don't know each other. I owe you nothing. Sometimes Ricky.
You call Rick Ricky.
This running gag, I love it so much.
I don't know if anyone's that stupid, but anyway.
No, it just shows that how little respect he has for people. He doesn't care about anyone else except for himself. He doesn't even take time to learn their names properly.
Yeah, because a normal person would try to say the name, or if he's wrong with it, say, oh, what was your name again? Like, can you repeat your name? Because I forgot. Was it Rick? Ricky? You know, like, you know, people, you can say it in a way that puts blame on yourself. Like, you know, hey, I'm bad with names. Can you please remind me?
Everyone's bad with names, Dad.
But you don't really see that but you don't see that on a TV show because it's not common. But it is common discussion.
Because he wants to see that awkward moment anyway. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Well, you do it unless once, and then, you know, you learn the name. But yeah. So this is what this is when I said, you know, the angry Daryl. This is what he says.
What the hell, man? You're either with us or you ain't. You're sitting over there talking out of both sides of your mouth.
See, angry Daryl.
I got a great image talking out of both sides of your mouth. Enid apparently has been talking to people because, and it has a pretty big effect on the hilltop. Because when the group goes outside, like I said, in defeat, they see a character that you have named Birdie.
Mm-hmm. And she was the one who, remember the Rick was riding with Jesus, and then there was this overturned car in the middle of the road, and then it was like blocking the road, and then they had to get out. And they found some people in a house, and they thought it was a trap or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I remember.
Birdie was one of the people that was in there with the doctor.
Okay, I remember.
And Rick saved her, and that's what she says, right? She's like, "Oh, I owe my life to you all. A bunch of us do, basically, based on that scene."
Yeah.
And also,
and then Enid said, "You can show us the way. I'm ready." Because Enid is like, "Look, we need to fight." Because what didn't she say to Sasha in last season that like you. We're not the only one that wants to rise up against Negan. And Sasha said, sometimes it feels like I am the only one.
And at the time, I thought she meant Carl, which she could have. But I think she probably...
She meant herself.
Yeah, but now I think she probably means also other people in Hilltop.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And maybe she was talking at the time, but didn't tell anyone. So behind the scenes, she was like scheming with all these people. And Enid was like, "Hey, man, my group's awesome. You guys should join us," kind of thing, right? And Carl looks at Enid and smiles. She smiles back. So Carl's like, probably thinking, "Yeah, good job.
I approve, girlfriend.
I approve. You did a good job." And also, just a trivia note: Birdie has a comic book counterpart named Brianna, who is a supporter of Maggie in the comic book. So that's equivalent character there in the comic book. So overall, so far, we see, you know...
So yeah, win over Hilltop because they have those people.
Yeah, a few people, which is better than nothing, right?
Yeah, they still have a few people at Alexandria, too. But nobody knows. If you recall the conversation between Aaron and Eric, nobody else in Alexandria, based on their conversation later on in the episode, knows that Rick is going to go against Negan again. So when do you think he's going to plan on telling them?
No one at Alexandria knows what the group is up to at all. They don't know why they're out there right now doing stuff. But yeah, so the group is out there doing stuff without the Alexandria's approval. And so I think there's going to be some meetings again.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, we need to have a talk at the church about the situation. Because no one seems to be on board. I think Eric is like a spokesperson for the Alexandriaites, and they don't want to get hurt again.
Eric saw how Aaron got beat to a pulp.
I think is kind of unfair, because he said, "Well, Rick isn't the one that got beat up. You were." I'm like, okay, you don't know anything about Rick, first of all, what he's been through, all right?
He cares about the people he loves, right? So he's like, "Well, you know, I care about you right now. This is important." So, I mean, I can understand from his point of view, and Aaron kind of threw it back at him and said, "Hey, you know,
what do you want to do? Leave?
We care about these people. I care about this person and that person, and they're part of our group, and we have to care for them and we have to take care of them." And Aaron's kind of making it like, "Well, I'm not going out there to fight Negan. I'm going out to save Gabriel on this particular trip." He's kind of isolating the problem instead of saying, "Oh, I'm going out there to get Negan.
This isn't what we're talking about. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the bigger picture here."
But Eric, of course, is talking about, like, you know, because he said, like, if Rick is going after Negan, then that is the problem right there.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to die, basically. I think that's what he's worried about.
It's just fear. Because they know what Negan's capable of.
Yeah, they saw it firsthand.
So if they didn't see it when they were in the lineup when Glenn and Abraham died, they certainly saw it when Spencer and Olivia died.
Yeah,
they're not about to start any more crap around that.
Yeah, so they get the picture.
They start heading back to Alexandria.
Yeah, and then they're like talking and stuff, and you know, they're thinking, well, we need to get more people. What the hell are we going to do? And then Daryl says, well, maybe we don't need more people. We just need better fighters.
Which I kind of agree with, because, you know, in ancient history and all wars, wars have always been won not well, just with numbers, but with experience. And if you can fight and you have a good plan, a 100-man army will probably can win against a 1,000-man army type of situation.
Yeah, like the 300, the Spartans.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, if you have a lot of bodies, you can throw at it and through the...
Yeah, but still...
The odds. Yeah. A war of attrition kind of thing. And then Jesus comes to the rescue and says, hey, you know, we don't have to head back to Alexandria because I got one of their radios.
And we can listen. We can find we love you, Jesus.
We can find what's going on. And then he says, I think it's time I introduced you to King Ezekiel.
He's like, Kang.
Kang? What's Kang?
Kang. So they're like, okay, let's go to the kingdom. And then Jesus says, technically, we're already here. Well, we're always here, but here we are. What the heck is he talking about?
So I highlighted this line in the notes because I found...
Are you trying to be philosophical?
Well, it's trying to be funny. Okay. I noticed in this episode, there's an attempt at comedy. This half season, I noticed that starting with this episode, we'll see how the rest goes, but I think they're starting to add a little bit of funny here and there.
We've always had kind of funny, though.
Yeah, but in this episode, I noticed it was like brought to the forefront. So this line by Jesus kind of is kind of funny. And then again, angry Daryl shows up again.
Hi, the hell are we waiting on?
Like, he's just so impatient. Him and Rosita, they really want to rise up. They really want to go already. They don't want to wait for anymore.
They want to fight. They want, like, show me where the target is. I want to start.
And you'd think Rosita would remember how her rashness has gotten Spencer and Eugene in trouble. Well, Spencer died and Eugene was taken, and now they can't make bullets. You think she'd want to be relaxed a little bit and not be so upset all the time.
Yeah. So they're in the outskirts of the kingdom. They're waiting for
Richard shows up on a horse with two other people, and Rick's like, what? And they say, okay, Paul.
Which indicates that they know Jesus from before. Uh-huh. They know of him. They know his story. So there's the relationship there, right? And Jesus says, he introduces Rick and says he's the leader of a like-minded community.
And Richard obviously is kind of like skeptical, like, okay, like when and how. And they're all under, you know, they're all under the the boot of the saviors, yeah. And they're all want to help each other.
I think I think that's what it means by like-minded, and also like we're good people. We're not evil like Negan kind of thing.
Yeah,
we're just
exactly.
Trying to survive.
Trying to make a life for ourselves. We're not here to pillage.
Right,
okay?
Right. And then Richard kind of thinks like, oh, you know, this is some kind of
trade. We don't need any more trading. We need, we need to figure out the root of the problem. Yeah. And I liked Jesus when he said, oh, you know, I never see you smile much, Richard, but I think that's going to change.
Yeah. And Richard, we saw a little bit of back story or story of him, but he's the one. And the reason why they showed it previously, like he's against Ezekiel, like not against him, but he wants to fight Negan. Mm-hmm. And we see that come up in this episode where Richard sees the opportunity. It's like, oh, wow, this is an opportunity. This group came out of nowhere. Here's my chance, right, to do all this stuff. I made a note here that, you know, so Rick, the name Rick and Richard are actually the same name.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right? And so Jesus tells Richard, oh, he'll see him smile again, which we don't see him smile again. Richard never smiles again. but we see Rick smile at the end of the episode. So I'm wondering if that's kind of on purpose. They put that line in there on purpose.
That's a deep theory there.
Yeah. So when Jesus said you're going to smile today.
That's so smart.
It kind of implied that, you know, actually Rick's going to smile.
Because what we have in store, you're going to like.
Yeah, Richard didn't smile because, of course, Ezekiel didn't go for the thing. So, you know, Richard is
sad. Yeah, it was clear even before. Yeah. I don't know why King Ezekiel had to be like, well, I'll give my decree in the morn. Because we all know, based on the conversation alone, that he's not into it. And I don't know why they wasted their time with the story and how the boy went and talked to Ezekiel and he had the same answer. That was very convincing when Rick told his story about the fairy tale.
Yeah, well,
because he's trying to relate to him, but I don't want to jump ahead.
But yeah, so we'll get to the story. So they meet the king, and there was a funny scene where they're like standing back because they're afraid of the tiger.
They're like, what? And then Jesus is like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you.
A little minor detail. A little minor, like dotting the I and crossing the T detail. That's
funny.
There's a tiger in our midst. And then Rick goes into his sales pitch. So I'll play a little bit of that.
Alexandria, the hilltop, and the kingdom.
And the kingdom.
All three of our communities have something in common. We all serve the saviors. Alexandria already fought them once and we won. We thought we took out the threat, but we didn't know then what we know now. We only beat one outpost. We've been told you have a deal with them, that you know them. Then you know they rule through violence and fear.
So, after that is spoken, then basically it reveals that Rick knows that the kingdom has deals with the saviors. And then Ezekiel freaks out on Jesus.
He's like, what? You told them? That's a secret that I trusted to you.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, he's the reason why, like, no, I told them this because he can help us. This is for good. But I didn't just open my mouth. Because he's like, Ezekiel is very worried because the rest of his kingdom doesn't know about this arrangement and he doesn't want there to be panic.
This is like the worst kept secret, I think.
Yeah.
Like, how many people know this? Like, you have a whole army of people jogging around or practicing archery and
what are they training for? Do they know?
Because the people who know the deal are the people who wear those shields, right? The chest plates.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what those things are. I don't know. They're not really bulletproof, but they're like padding, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them, right? You saw like there were at least 20, 30 of those people running, exercising. So those people know, but the
assumingly,
rest, because they meet up with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the town doesn't know. So I'm just wondering, like, how do you keep this secret with so many people knowing? And then it's like half know, half don't know. It's weird. I'm surprised nobody knows about this already.
Oh, they're just trying to protect us from walkers. But like, do you really need to have all that? Really? They don't ask questions because they already know that. Okay, as long as he takes care of us, that's all we care about.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that kind of put their head down and just don't think about too many things that's going on around them, I guess.
Just like in real life, and this is where Morgan finds out for the first time about Glenn and Abraham and the other two that died under Negan's brain.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I'm really sorry. But that doesn't change his decision that he makes in the end when he talks to Ezekiel, when he gives his own opinion.
Yeah.
But instead of smiling, Richard, he says, look, we have the people and we have the weapons. I urge you to rise up is a theme, take to the camera, and no more waiting for things to get worse beyond what we can handle. We can set things right, you know?
He has a point. I mean, the longer you wait, because he mentioned it later on too, the longer you wait, the stronger the saviors get, right? You want to strike now.
Yeah,
the earlier the better. And Morgan is pretty quiet. And Ezekiel, I noticed he looks towards Morgan for advice. So he respects Morgan because he's like, you know, Morgan, say something. You're not saying anything. And he was reluctant, but he did say the usual Morgan stuff. you know. People will die, and maybe capturing him is the best. And then, of course, Rick, like, shakes his head, closes his eyes, like, oh, not again. Not again.
Like, you've disappointed me.
No, not disappointed, but I think it's more like, not again, you know?
Yeah, like, not with this, I don't want to kill BS.
Yeah, I've heard it all before. Do you think this is foreshadowing of Morgan somehow capturing me? Because he was working on a jail, remember?
Yeah.
A prison? In Alexandria, he was welding it. And then we saw Rick in the last episode kind of in the jail, in the cell, thinking about stuff.
So. With an axe.
Yeah.
And
so I'm wondering if it's kind of foreshadowing of somehow they capture Negan and don't kill him. I don't know.
Maybe. That's a possibility. Because I know that's what Morgan wants. But based on what Rick's face was, he's like, we're not going to have any of that. All right? Yeah, but that's not going to happen. But then again, that could... Because I think maybe the theme is that maybe we don't just have to have one or the other, you know, ultimate submission and ultimate revenge. Maybe we can have a little bit of both. There's a balance. And maybe because of Rick's rashness and how he was, his ego is what got him into the position in the first place. And if he just goes after Neek in the same way he thought he could the first time before he knew what Negan's power was, maybe he's going to try to take a different route and be more careful. And maybe he will take Negan as prisoner.
Or maybe
for negotiation purposes.
Or maybe Morgan will work behind his back or something.
Maybe, but that just defeats the whole purpose of come together and rise up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at some point, Rick starts telling Morgan a story, which... I thought it was a good idea because I have a feeling that Ezekiel is kind of the storyteller person. He likes stories in general.
Yeah, he was trying to. He says like there was a kingdom like this one, and he was trying to like relate.
And there was a king, know? Like you are a king.
Mm-hmm.
And is basically, and of course the story is about them and their situation, right?
Yeah,
is about this girl who was. It was a story about a rock in the middle of the road. And I guess, and then this little girl was in a carriage, a cart that got tipped over.
How big is this rock, okay?
It must be huge.
That no one could see when they trample over it?
A lot of people died, apparently, because of this rock. So this story is kind of weird.
Horses break legs. Beers seep into the water.
Yeah,
look, to the ground. That was very descriptive.
There was beer on this wagon because I guess the beer was supposed to be sold and they were supposed to make money off selling this beer. But they hit the rock, so it spilled and it got soaked into the ground.
But what, if it was soaked in the ground, would they scoop it back up again? I don't know.
They just left it there.
Now I'm just overanalyzing it.
And then, so this girl ends up scraping around the rock and digging the rock out, you know, wearing down her fingers to the bone. And at the bottom of the rock, she finds some gold, which apparently was put there by the king. So this king actually dug up the rock, put gold in the bottom, put the rock back in for someone to find it, which is kind of weird, which makes no sense. But anyway, so if you work hard enough, you can find gold.
You too can find gold and peace and prosperity.
So the rock is obviously Negan and the little girl is Rick. And the group, or the girl is them, I guess.
Rick equals little girl.
Yes. And then, and the gold symbolizes peace and prosperity. So they basically saying that, you know, Negan has been there, like this rock has been there forever. Like Negan's been there. No one's done anything about it. They just go through and accept this punishment and don't do anything until one person decides, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to stop the madness. I'm going to... You know, the buck stops here kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to make a change. And that's the little girl. She decides, okay, once and for all, I'm going to remove this rock. And so that
way... No matter how hard it is.
Yeah, because everybody else... I'll save so many people from pain. And that's what Rick is trying to say. You know, Negan is this person that's beating down on many towns, many communities.
Mm-hmm.
And he's affected many communities. Like we saw from...
Yeah, like Tara's community that she found, where all the men were killed.
Mm-hmm.
And how the hilltop, how their people were taken, and, you know, even one of the people were convinced to kill the leader, Gregory.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other communities we don't even know about because they've probably been wiped out.
And if you think about it, the kingdom has been very lucky. They lucked out kind of thing, right? Because they haven't been affected by...
Ezekiel is smart. You know, he knows that when there's something bigger than himself, he should work to negotiate for peace than to fight back. Because he's... And I can't... That's why I guess I can't be surprised that he didn't want to take the offer. Because from the very beginning, he's always chosen peace instead of fighting. So it's going to take more than just this conversation. Which is why I also think it's a good idea that they made Daryl stay back.
to keep an eye on things, and also,
and just, I like the line. What was it?
Stare him down.
I wrote it down. Yeah, stare him down into submission.
See, I told you his comedy is inserted into this episode.
Yeah, that's true.
So Ezekiel is in a special position where he hasn't felt the wrath of Negan yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it hasn't affected him emotionally, like at the level,
personally,
at a level that would make him say enough is enough kind of thing. You know, mm-hmm. They kind of have it good. They have crops that they have stuff to supply Negan, but how long is that going to last? I mean, that's what Daryl said. Like, for how long is this going to last? You know, it's not mm-hmm. going to last forever. At one point it's going to turn on you and then it's too late. You haven't done anything.
Pretty much.
So talk a little bit about the next scene, which is Benjamin and Carol.
So Benjamin is the kid with the sticks that Morgan has trained. So he's in the woods, apparently continuing his training on his own, and he runs into Carol. And Carol's like, what the hell are you doing out here? Okay, I could hear you from a mile away, kid. And he's like, I'm pushing myself, trying to step up. And that's why he didn't run the other way when he heard thinking it was a zombie. And, you know, Carol gives him a little advice on how to not get killed. And Carol says, and then says, okay, go home.
Yeah, because you're going to get killed.
Yeah. And he says, you know, the same thing for you, right? And she says, no, you're not me. Go home. She's a badass. It's established already.
Yeah, so that's funny. It's comedy right there. Comedy gold.
Oh, my gosh.
Comedy gold.
Oh, my God. Debatable. And, well, that, yeah, it's kind of funny. And, you know, Benjamin says, you know, Ezekiel cares about you. And he asks if she wants any water or food. And she's surprised at the fact that, oh, yeah, this food and water is for anybody I run into who might need it. Because
yeah.
She thinks, why would you help other people when you should just be helping yourself?
Because Carol, and, it reemphasizes that Carol's in this I don't care anymore mode. It's like, I just care about myself and I don't care about anybody else kind of
but
thing.
But this kid is very endearing. Like, I think he kind of gets to her a little bit. She says, okay, heel toe, bend at your knees and keep quiet.
Survival advice.
Mm-hmm. I hope Benjamin doesn't die because he seems like a very promising, another like a Carl character where he'll like come to his own soon.
Well,
be a leader.
Jasmine, I hate to disappoint you, but I think this character is going to die.
Wait, why? Why do you say, why that? It's not disappointing. It hasn't happened yet, Dad. That's just your own prediction.
Well, you will be disappointed when it happens.
Why?
Well, think about it. I mean, who is taking care of Benjamin? Like, who is close to Benjamin? Like, you know, Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel kind of is connected with Benjamin, you know, in a special way because his father, Benjamin's father, died in the fights that apparently happened at one point in the past.
The riots.
The zombie
riots of 1602.
The zombie riots, or they went to this.
The initial outbreak.
They went to this complex or whatever, and then a lot of people died. And
and
that's what Ezekiel keeps bringing up over and over again, that, you know, we fought and a lot of our people died and we're not going to have that happen again. And Benjamin's father died in there.
Yeah.
So Ezekiel feels responsible for Benjamin all the time. That's why when Benjamin comes back and says, hey, I was in the forest alone, Ezekiel.
He wasn't necessarily upset, though.
No, he wasn't. He was proud of him.
He's kind of proud, yeah, because he's taking a step. But hey, look, Morgan trained him with the sticks. He's not going to die.
Yeah, sticks. And also he said he was practicing his shooting and stuff.
Yeah.
And he says to Ezekiel, hey, I saw Carol out there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying.
They have a thing. Ezekiel and Carol have a thing. Because like when Benjamin's like, yeah, Ezekiel's worried. And Carol's like, well, tell him he's going to worry anyway. Because she sounded like, well, I don't know what to tell him. And then when Benjamin brought up to Ezekiel, Ezekiel is like, and how is she doing? Like they he likes her.
Yeah, they don't want to admit it, like, straight up.
He came with fruits, okay? Like, leaning on her door, you know, like, hey, girlfriend, or, you know.
Yeah, so definitely there's some stuff going on back there between them. And then Benjamin kind of wanted to, the reason why he mentioned it, because he says, like, oh, you know what? Carol asked me why I carry water. Mm-hmm. So Benjamin was trying to start the conversation about, you know, we should care about people, right? We should take care of people.
Yeah.
And then Ezekiel says, well, why, what did you answer her? I said, well, the same reason why we should say yes to Rick, because yada, yada, you know, we care about people. And he says, you know, whether we help them or not, they're going to do it. And he's trying to tell them, like, well, don't you want to be, if they do win, and they don't you want to be there when the win happens and be part of that fight?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to just sit back and then have them...
And just feel guilty because you could have done something?
Yeah, you could have been part of that and you could have helped, but you didn't.
Yeah.
You know, you just sat back and just took it. And then basically saying, you know, you got to be a hero, you know?
Because my dad said that if you are asked to be a hero, be a hero.
Yeah.
I am ready. We are ready.
That wouldn't be my advice to you. My advice would be...
I was just thinking, like, yeah, my dad would not say stuff like that. He's like, go home.
I'd be like, if you hear gunshots, go running in the opposite direction.
Yeah, just like, you're the flight or fight, your flight.
Feet don't fail me now.
And the only thing that Ezekiel said is like, clever, but also said, you know, the king and your father is very proud.
Of
okay,
you, yeah.
But that does not answer my question, sir.
Before that discussion, he actually recites, there's a bedtime story, a speech from Martin Luther King, another king, and which is basically saying, you know, if we have freedom, you know, if we have justice, we'll be free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last, which is kind of like saying, you know, if we kill Negan, we'll be free at last kind of thing,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, how could he be saying stuff like that and thinking that and talking to Benjamin like that? And then my conclusion after this discussion was like, oh, okay, he's going to go along, right? But no, mm-hmm. He does.
I know. I thought so too. He's just like, this is how I'm going to contribute. I'm going to give sanctuary to Daryl. And that's it.
It's like bare minimum.
What about offering weapons, okay?
Exactly. Give him some guns or something.
Yeah, ammo, something. Can't trace that back to the kingdom because it never stepped foot, quote unquote, in the kingdom yet.
Musical, mm-hmm. Musical interlude.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Cling, cling. Cling, cling. Okay, yeah.
So like Shakespearean.
Well, we're in the kingdom, right? We're in medieval times. One thing we forgot to talk about was... it wasn't a big scene, but it was when they first met Morgan for the first time, right? When they were at,
yeah.
when they came into the camp and they saw, hey, it's Morgan. What the hell? What's going on? And they asked about Carol, right? I mean, Daryl asked about Carol, and all we have to say about that is that mm-hmm. he said that
she just doesn't want to have anything to do with us, so she's gone. I don't know where she is.
Yeah, yeah. So Carol was here. She got help. Now she's gone. Bottom line.
She's okay, but she's gone.
And also,
he's a bad liar.
Yeah. One line which was important that he mentioned, which kind of was, I don't know,
what?
kind of clunky, but he said, oh, he basically described that, yeah, we confronted the saviors. There was a savior guy that was attacked. And then he said, I stopped him. I killed him. I had to. Like, he's, I don't know why he mentioned that, like that, you know, I actually killed him. He's kind of saying to Rick, like, oh, I actually can kill. Because the savior was trying to kill Carol, but I killed him first, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a weird line. Like, I don't know why he brought it up.
Because he doesn't kill people, Dad.
Well, maybe he just trying to tell Rick that, hey, you know, when I had to do when I have to do it, I do it, kind of thing. When I have to kill, I kill. So I don't know.
I don't know. I think
Morgan is still going through his stuff. He hasn't really.
Because even when he was when they were all in the theater. Trying to figure out or what's the best option. She wasn't even really sure when he was saying, you know, maybe we could capture Negan or I don't know. There's going to be a lot of people dying. He wasn't like, no, people will die. I don't think it's a good decision. He wasn't 100% on that.
Yeah. He's still fighting to himself to figure out what his role is in this mm-hmm. whole thing. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to get resolved. So I have a feeling that something's going to happen between Benjamin, the kid, Morgan and Ezekiel, like those three people.
Trio.
Like, I think something is going to happen really bad. Something bad is going to happen where it's either going to force Morgan to get into action or maybe Benjamin's going to die because of Morgan's inaction. And then Ezekiel is going to say, oh, okay, I'm going to fight now because he sees Benjamin dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So you always think a death will help. This is with the same thing you said in the spinoff. Okay. Fear. You're like, the only reason why he's going to change is if his son dies. And like, come on, Dad.
Oh, you mean Fear of the Walking Dead?
Yeah. That doesn't mean that's the only way that someone's going to change their mind.
Well, something bad has to happen where Ezekiel has to change his mind, right? I mean, I don't know. Ezekiel's not going to stand out like this forever. He has to turn around, but the question is, what's going to make him turn around, right?
Yeah. Like, what will it take?
Yeah. So let's play what Ezekiel says.
Men and women lost their limbs.
Literally.
Children lost their parents.
Literally.
Because I sent them into battle against the Wasted when I did not need to.
This is different.
It isn't.
Different.
It is. The dead don't rule us. The world doesn't look like this outside your walls. People don't have it as good. Some people don't have it good at all.
I have to worry about my people.
Yeah, so this is what I was telling you about, you know, a lot of people were died and he's like afraid of losing more people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Daryl says this.
You call yourself a damn king. You sure as hell don't act like one.
Which is a strange line because I don't know if it makes any sense. He says, you don't act like a king. Well, how do kings act? Like, what is a king supposed to do? Because
reign over his kingdom and think about his people. That is exactly what a king does. There have been a lot of stories where kings are like, I'm not going to fight because I need to protect my people.
I guess I have a bad opinion about kings. Because, you know, kings are rulers and sometimes they treat their people bad. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you always think that, well, it's the people first, I think.
There's evil kings out there, too.
Oh, of course.
That's why I thought it's like, you don't act like a king. Well, he acts a little bit different, actually. He acts better than a king because he's thinking about his people. But I'm just, like, so a king is supposed to be, okay, we fight and attack. Mm-hmm. Is that what Daryl means? Like, you're not acting like a king. You're not going out there fighting. Or maybe he means, like, you're not making the right decisions. You're not making decisions correctly or something. I don't know. You're being a wimp.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. He is a wimp. I don't know.
No, he's not a wimp. I think he's not afraid of fighting.
Then why won't he fight? Is it only because he's afraid of people getting hurt?
Yeah, I think he's shell-shocked. I think he's just... He's... Because of that defeat where he lost... Benjamin lost his father and all the stuff that happened and people lost their legs and arms and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was his fault because he told them to go there into the fight, right? It was his fault. He commanded them to do that and they died. So now he's thinking, well, if I command everyone to go fight Negan and half of the people die, you know, that's it. I blew it again. You know, I didn't accomplish anything. So from that point of view, but still, for our purposes, we want him to fight.
For our current purposes.
Yes. So
the group leaves somewhat defeated.
Yeah. And then this is where we have the line that you said, Sasha and Rosita Rosita says to Sasha, right?
Yeah. I knew what was coming, but it still pisses me off. Yeah. And Rosita cuts her off and says, we both had sex with the same dead guy. That doesn't make us friends. And then walks away. Speed walks away.
I don't think there's any other show that this line could be uttered.
Right?
Know. It's weird. Like, where would you hear this? Like, we had sex with the same dead guy. Okay.
That doesn't bond us in any way.
But yeah, it's just a weird line. And, you know, because the way we ended the last episode, everybody was happy, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't everybody happy?
Yeah.
Everybody was smiling. Yeah. So I just thought because Sasha and Rosita looked at each other and smiled and shook their head, I thought
they were kind of bonding because they both helped to get Abraham's beat up dead body together in the car bury them.
They cooperated, right?
Yeah.
So
I don't know. People change. I was thinking maybe she just I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it's just weird. I think it's just the writing is weird because the previous episode, they showed us them kind of, it just felt like they just looked at each other and did things in a way that says, oh, things are okay now, we're done with
it. I thought so too. And it doesn't really make sense, because if you had any, for me, I know this is me personally, so I'm not Rosita, but if the person I was dating died and their new girlfriend also has to deal with that too, I would put all my jealousy and petty things aside, you know?
Because you're kind of bond over the common...
Only other person, you know, that's the only other person who knows what it feels like to have someone they love as not like a friend or as a family member, but as a romantic partner. Even though it's weird because, you know, the situation, it wasn't like there was some bad blood there, like, oh, he cheated on you or anything. But that's kind of like the only person you can really talk to or even just have a moment with. I just don't find it. And I think maybe the reason why she's so upset is because then Spencer died. You know, and maybe she's still bitter. Maybe she really doesn't feel that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Spencer made a difference to things, but yeah, it just we'll see how it plays out. But Rosita has a lot of anger, and I think it might get her killed because of her anger, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But no, she just has to. She has to cool off.
Pretty much.
And then Richard and Rick talk a little bit, and so Richard got shot down by Ezekiel. He didn't get his way, right? So he's kind of talking to Rick, and it's like, well, what can we do? You know, kind of behind Ezekiel, not behind Ezekiel's back, but like,
but what can we do?
What else can we
to
do?
Help? Yeah. And then he brings up something. The more we give them food, the stronger they'll get and the harder they are to beat. That's a little exaggerating a little bit. I mean, it's not like...
Well,
I just think he doesn't want to help supply the enemy, right?
Yeah. Richard's figuring out a way to join in without, getting in the way of Ezekiel's decision. But I don't think it's going to work out. But we saw in the previous season that he had some trailer, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Richard did,
yeah,
with some glass,
like moonshine or something. I don't know.
Glass bottles. I think they were.
Yeah.
So maybe he was making like bombs or something.
Bombs. So I think he will probably contribute with stuff. I mean, they have explosives now, but maybe they'll make the explosives even bigger by taking apart the dynamite and putting them in the jars or something.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Richard would go behind Ezekiel's back and give Rick his equipment and help him out. Who knows?
Who knows? There's so many possibilities. So this isn't a dead end.
Yeah. And then Rick talks to Daryl and gives him that funny line, stay here and try to talk to Ezekiel or stare him into submission, whatever it takes.
Because that's what Daryl does. That's what he does.
He just stares. And then, see, there's comedy there. It's funny. Ha-ha. Hilarious.
It's funny. The show's funny.
It's hilarious, man. And I noticed they zoomed up on Rick's gun. He had it in his holster,
which I thought he should be getting rid of, because if the survivors see them carrying guns,
saviors.
What did I say? Save survivors.
You said survivors. Everyone's a survivor.
The saviors. Excuse me.
Well, the reason why I'm talking about the gun is because when I first watched it, I freaked out, because when they went back to Alexandria, I thought, oh my god, Rick still has his gun.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy's gonna see Rick's gun.
That's what I thought so too.
I know, but then I looked closely, and the second time I was like, oh, okay, he doesn't have his gun. He got rid of it, which is important to note. He got rid of it. How did he get rid of it? Where's the gun?
Do they have a hiding spot or something?
Yeah, he must have.
Ooh, because as soon as they got to the Alexandria, then they rolled up. So how could they hide it?
Before they got into Alexandria, he must have buried it in the woods or something.
True.
Tin can or whatever, yeah.
Uh-huh. They're on our way, and we hear on the radio Negan talking about Fat Joey, and now how Skinny Joey's just Joey. I thought that was funny. And, okay, can you kind of... Okay, yeah, they drive over a bridge, and they find a tripwire that Fat Joey had made because they were talking about it.
Yeah, he was an explosive expert.
Yeah.
Just a side note, this is the trivia.
Trivia!
This is the same bridge that was used in season 2 when Sophia went missing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Is it supposed to be the same bridge?
No,
are they
no.
in the same area?
No, oh. No. It's just kind of behind the scenes trivia that they filmed it in the same physical location, but of course it's not in the show.
How are we supposed to... we can't really tell, right? Yeah.
Remember the scene where they had a whole bunch of parked cars and then a horde starts coming.
Yeah, I remember.
And
yeah.
then they went underneath the cars. That was a scary scene.
Yeah.
And then they started, the zombies were trying to get to Carol. And then after the horde left, they turned around. It's like, where's Sophia?
She'd run into the woods. Yeah.
Yeah, she ran into the woods and was never to be seen again. But yeah, so that's where it was filmed, by the way. So you want me to explain this? Because I know you look confused.
I wasn't going to say anything, but yes. I mean, I understand what happened. I just didn't understand how they got there and why they needed to leave so quickly and what direction they were going and coming from.
It was confusing because there's actually two roads side by side. One was like an on-ramp going onto the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that had the cars packed up together.
Okay.
Right? And then on the main road, they had the tripwire.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the horde was coming, and the cars were blocking the horde from getting off the freeway
mm-hmm.
and going to the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
So the walkers, the zombies, had to go to the other location where the tripwire was. So that was the original plan that the saviors set up.
That saviors set up, yeah.
And then when they hit the tripwire, it was supposed to explode. And I don't know what the purpose of that is because...
To destroy the walker herd.
But not all of them, though, because it just kills the ones in the front. How about the ones in the back? They still come, right? So I don't know the final conclusion of that was. Maybe it's just a warning.
Maybe just slow it down.
Slow it down and maybe a warning sign? Like the saviors could... Because you could see in the distance the savior building, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they could see, like, oh, we just saw an explosion with smoke.
Well, it's good that one dynamite went off because then they could say, okay, the tripwire was triggered.
Mm.
So they will, I think they might think, oh, it should have been bigger, but whatever.
Well, notice Rosita left a few behind. She says, I don't like the look of this. And she left a few. So maybe that's the one that blew up. I don't know.
No, of course. Because she said later on, she's like, I knew it, that there was something funny looking about that one.
And of course, they hear on the radio that Negan knows now that Daryl is missing. So they're on their way. So this whole scene was stressful, wasn't it?
I was so stressed. I thought there was so much tension. Anytime you deal with explosives in movies and TVs in general is very stressful. Yeah. So to add the tensions that, oh my God, they have to go back to Alexandria really quickly was just heightened the stakes so much more.
There was a bunch of things happening. The walkers were coming. The dynamite could explode at any minute. And then the Negan was coming on the way to Alexandria. Mm-hmm. So they had to get back. So it was like, everything's piling up. How about the part where Rick and Michonne are driving along the thing and they slice all the walkers? That was pretty awesome.
That was so cool. It's like date night, killing walkers together.
Yeah, they're like side by side and driving across the freeway.
So dramatic. Like the music matched when Rick dropped his arm to signal a go.
It's like a race, right?
Yeah, like, that was cool. I really liked
it. It's like red, yellow, green, go. Boom.
It was so cool.
Yeah, and then the kind of, they had like the weed whacker effect of the wire just cutting through them. It was a great scene. I liked it. And they only went so far because then they were blocked by a whole bunch of walkers. But
And I'm glad they had this in there because otherwise there wouldn't have been no like action at all.
Yeah, so the whole episode was well-rounded with action and story and going to different places. So it was a pretty intense.
So they basically drove it just so they could get to the car, to the SUV faster, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so when they got there, he was like, what did he say? He said...
It was close.
Yeah, it was close. And then she said, we're here, we made it, we can make it. We're the ones who live.
Which is the same line... Yeah, it's the same line Michonne said at the end of the last season where it's like, we're the ones who live, right? Mm-hmm. To Rick, like, yeah, you know, we're going to make it. See, we do all this crazy stuff with wires and cars and slicing walkers in half, and we still come out alive because we're on a TV show, apparently. it's like, yeah, we're going to make it. Don't worry. See, things are working out. Everything's working out fine. And also, you notice the parallels, right? Because, you know, Rick was talking about the rock in the road and how the girl moved the rock and she found the gold. This is another roadblock in the road, right?
See? Yeah.
They actually did. There's a block in the road. Connections, yeah. Roadblock.
Hard work pays off.
Exactly, yep. And you
now
get...
Now we got explosives.
Got explosives.
Because that's what gold is in the apocalypse, explosives. Yes. So they get back to Alexandria, and we talked about not having his gun. Smart.
Yeah, somewhere he left it.
Yeah, and Simon, I love this character. He reminds me of one of the characters from The Walking Dead game.
No, I like Simon. I like the Simon character too.
I don't know what character, but I think he's so cool. Rick plays dumb. You know, he's like, I don't know. Yeah. Daryl who? And they tear up the place. For some reason, this also made me really tense because I knew he wasn't there, but I still thought they were going to find something. Because I'm like,
Well, they knowing how Negan is and his group, I mean, they could just kill someone just because. Mm-hmm. They're just pissed off. Like, mm-hmm. We know you're hiding them. I know we can't find him, but I bet you he's...
Until he comes, we'll take another one of your people. Like, yeah. Well, how the hell are we supposed to know?
We'll kill someone unless he comes
out.
But
I guess because they were so good at, like, lying. They're like, I don't know.
I just feel the writers didn't want to push it too much. Because they could have easily said, if you don't bring him out now, we're going to kill someone like Carl. Because Simon did say, oh, Carl shows up and Daryl disappears. Yeah. Connection? Coincidence? I think not. Right. Uh-huh. So he could say, "I'll go, okay, because Daryl disappeared, I'm going to kill Carl."
Yeah, that could have been it.
Unless Negan has a special thing on Carl, saying you can't touch Carl.
No, he's not going to touch Carl because I think he wants to take him for his own.
Right. You know, so I'm like, just saying. So maybe Negan gave an order to Simon, say, "Don't kill Carl because I need him."
Yeah.
Because I think there was a line in there, something of that nature, that because Simon says, "Yo, you're lucky this time," or something like that, to Carl. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's been being protected. So that's when Rick finds out that the food in the pantry's
empty.
I like how Rick keeps all his surprise to himself, because they show up at the pantry. There's no food there.
That's why I almost believed. I almost thought, did Rick know that there was no food here, or was there no food to begin with? Has it always looked this empty?
I would have done the same thing. Like, you show up at some place, like, you come home with a guest, like a stranger, right? Hmm. Like, let's say you come home and you have guests, right?
Bring,
hey, come over to my place. It's awesome. And then you open the door to your house and then all your furniture is gone.
Well, I'm getting new furniture.
It's like, oh, you just hold, you're like, instead of like screaming and freaking out, you're like, I apologize. My new furniture hasn't come in yet.
Yes it.
Yeah,
because you don't want to look embarrassed, and that gives him excuse to be like, if you're gonna go for a supply, we're kind of running low, as you can see.
Yeah, instead of saying, I've been robbed.
That's the problem,
because then you're like, what the hell, you've been robbed by who? Like, what, there's another, like, who came here and took what? So they kept,
especially,
and
then, if they don't know the answers, you know.
Yeah, so once the Simon goes away, Rick freaks out on
they all freak out, they're like, what the hell. And, you know, obviously, Rosita, being negative Nancy, thinks Gabriel actually took the food and ran, but he doesn't believe it. He said he's changed. But so, because they found the Bible on the floor, and it was interesting when he was looking through the notebook. Yeah, I was like, at first I wrote down, is that plans for a leg, a wooden leg? Because I couldn't, like, I thought because, you know, Herschel lost his leg and they made him a fake leg or something. And then they're like, here's the plans. For future reference, if we ever have to cut someone's leg off again.
So you thought that was a medical handbook?
Yeah!
An improvised medical handbook?
I was like, why do they have plans for the leg or something?
Are you talking about the bat that was there?
Yeah! I didn't know it was a bat. I thought it was a leg.
I think that bat actually was drawn by Negan. Like, Negan drew in the book to...
Because that's the book for the pantry stuff.
Yeah, just to remind... what's her name?
Olivia,
oh, that
that's so jacked up.
Just a reminder that, hey, you know, I'm still here, and this stuff, this page is for Negan, kind of thing, or just to haunt her, you know. But
they look through the notebook and they find
that would be cool though if they had a notebook that, like, they recorded all the adventures they went through and, like, all the bad stuff they did and how to avoid it next time. So, like, it's like a guidebook,
that's
right?
That's what I thought it was. I'm like, oh, they have the plans for the leg. I was like, that's cool. But he looks through it and he sees the word boat on the back, which means that he had enough time to write in where he is.
The other person wrote it in. I don't think Gabriel wrote it. I think the other person wrote it.
Okay. Yeah, so...
Or maybe... The guy told Gabriel, we're going to a boat. And
that's
then,
what I'm thinking.
And then Gabriel, when the other guy wasn't looking, he wrote in the thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
Who knows, right?
Rick and Aaron are like, how does he know about the boat?
Yeah.
And he says, he doesn't. And then they're like, oh, yeah, Gabriel's not a bad guy. And so they're like, okay, this is it. We have to go find him. And like we talked about earlier, Aaron and Eric have a conversation saying he has to go. Mm-hmm. And then Rick is like, and then Eric said, if Rick is taking on the saviors, that is everything.
Yeah.
Because it's life or death. This is no going back from this. And they get to the boat area and they find a trail of footprints. Perfect footprint in the dried up mud, mm-hmm. by the way. And then there was like a crane and like the weeds had overgrown over the crane that they meet. And the large group quickly ambushes them, surrounds them, holding them at gunpoint. And then you say, notice some of them have hoodies, like one in the car. Thanks, yeah. Dad.
And then Rick smiles, which is the final scene, which my interpretation, I think we both agree on, is basically him saying, yes, we got the numbers. Yeah, I like how they had the overgrown bushes to show that, you know, a lot of time has passed now and everything's overgrown and these deserted mm-hmm. places used to be thriving with activity, but now they're just overgrown with bushes and stuff. Which is, so basically this location was like right next to the boat, right?
Yeah.
It must have been like right next to...
How did I miss that though, Aaron and Rick?
Well, all they cared about, I mean, they went through a tribulation of going to the boat and getting off, so they just loaded up their truck and just left. It's like we scored, right? They found something, let's get out of here, you know?
Yeah.
But because that boot guy was watching them, he was probably there in that community right next to the boat. So that's why I think Gabriel is with them.
And that they followed them from the boat, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the ending.
Mm-hmm.
A very busy episode. I like it. I think it's much better paced than the previous season half. Do you want to read? Let's read some of the comments we got on mm-hmm. Facebook.
Scott Gregg says that he loved the episode. It was like an old Walking Dead. It was fun watching them work together. Amazing to realize that the zombies on the road, wire and explosion, were the only deaths. No other real fighting or anything. The group's response to the tiger was hilarious. Yeah, this was the only zombie fighting in this whole episode. But it was great to see all of the group together for the first time in a long time.
I thought it was kind of pushing it a little bit where they showed Rick right in the middle of the horde and Michonne right in the middle of the horde. And then they kind of shuffle their way around and the car's That's right true. There. The car's right there and they get right into the truck. Like,
How do they drive away with all the horde around the car?
And plus they had the windows rolled down and then they're like rolling up the windows.
Slowly.
and the walkers didn't put their arms in there, right?
Yeah. Safety reasons. So safety reasons. Yeah,
they don't get their hands caught in the rolled up window. So when the Walking Dead wants to get someone killed with a walker... It just
You'll
happens.
Know.
It happens.
You'll know. Yeah.
If they don't want them to get killed, the walkers
You'll
are
know
just
also.
Like, eh.
Yeah. Like, not today. We're not going to eat today.
Yeah.
You want to read the next one?
Road Coder says, good episode. There were some minor gripes. Why is Morgan still looking for another way?
True.
How long is Carol going to be an emo? Why is Rosita? Reminds me of mom. Why is she emo? Was Rosita always an explosive expert?
True.
It's interesting that the writers created an explosive expert who can't make a bullet.
That's also...
Things that make you go, I love the cable stretch between two vehicles scene, though. That was brutally efficient. So,
did you see how the heads go flying?
Yeah, it's like...
The white shot.
So, Morgan's looking for another way. Why is Morgan looking for another way? Well, because he's still in doubt, right?
He's in conflict, but...
Yeah, we talked about that. He's like still... That's why I think there's going to be something happening. Morgan still hasn't reached that critical mass yet where he's going to flip over.
I haven't hit the boiling point yet.
Yes.
Even though I thought the boiling point was when he killed for Carol, but I guess it won't.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Maybe it is. Maybe he's still working through it. Maybe it just takes time to set in. Rusty says, I'm encouraged. In all honesty, the first eight...
Rusty Plune.
Plune. says, I'm encouraged. In all honesty, the first 8 episodes of the season were my least favorite of the entire series for several reasons. Group being subjugated, group being split, standalone episodes that seemed forced, etc. However, Sunday's episode was encouraging in that they seemed to be getting back to what we love about The Walking Dead, i.e. the mask walker kill scene on the interstate. For my wife and I, the show was fun and entertaining again. The first episodes weren't fun and weren't entertaining. At the end of the day, isn't that why we watch? On Sunday, The Walking Dead once again proved what we were looking for. Finally, isn't it refreshing to see Rick leading again? I miss this Rick. Looking forward to the rest of the season. Yeah. I agree. I miss seeing Rick taking charge and not being, you know, like the slave to Negan.
And
but I understand why it was necessary at the time. I just didn't like it so much.
And also being inactive, like not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I like his comment about The Walking Dead once again provided what we were looking for. Like, you know, that's what Rusty's saying. He was going to The Walking Dead watching it because it was fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And The Walking Dead stopped being fun. It was kind of boring a little bit sometimes and kind of going in the wrong direction that we wanted, but I think this is exciting. You know, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the pace is changing to, it's becoming more upbeat, you know, like mm-hmm. we're getting stuff done. We're fighting back. We're rising up.
Basically. Yeah.
So this is what Scott Gimple said to the Hollywood Reporter in an interview. And they asked him about the smile, Rick's smile at the end.
Oh, okay.
And he said, that smile has a lot to do with the next episode. Rick is caught in this awful situation, and you'd think somebody wouldn't be too happy about it. But all these people aren't just a threat, they're an answer. It's an interesting story, and we don't leave the audience on pins and needles about it. And we go right into what that smile means in the next episode. So that's good, because they're not going to leave us with a cliffhanger. They're going to mm-hmm. actually continue where they left off, you know, explaining who these people are and stuff like that, I assume. He says there's tough stuff in the next episode, but there's straight up fun, and attempts are made at humor from the situation that these characters get in. A whole new world is discovered. It's a cool turn of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see.
Petty thieves turn into friends.
And one of the questions is like, how's the structure of the second half? And he says, for the most part, I like reinventing the show every half season. This half is very different from the previous half. There are a lot of characters together with multiple stories per episode, and there are a couple that are more focused, but it isn't like the first half at all. So yeah, so I've noticed that in this episode, it's completely different. It's not isolated. It's mixing it up, so I like that better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's been rumors on the internet, and I don't know if our fans have been wondering as well, because Chandler Riggs is going to go to college.
Chandler Riggs go to college. Carl goes to college. Yeah.
He's a senior now, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, in high school.
Growing up so fast. Wait, so he's the same age as... Oh, yeah, he's the same age as Alexander.
Yeah. And so people were saying, well, he's going to go to college. They're going to kill him off, right? Because
what?
When you're in college...
Hello? How do you just jump to that conclusion?
Well, because college means moving away and...
Well, he did. He was homeschooled in high school, so. Right? Wasn't he?
I don't know if he was homeschooled, but he did go to. Anyway, this is the answer. They're basically saying Chandler Riggs is going to college. How will this impact the future of The Walking Dead? Can he maintain his status? Scott Gimple replies, college is actually easier than high school. Chandler went to high school. It wasn't an onset school. So that was much harder than college. I'm confident college will be more flexible. He'll be close by within 2 hours, and he currently lives more than an hour from set anyway. So, yeah. Mm. So he's basically saying, you know, because in high school, you have to be there at a certain time. You got to leave. Like, you can't have absentee things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
College, you can kind of do things on the fly and work around courses and stuff. So you can take less courses, things like that. So I guess he's implying that they're not killing him off anytime soon. It's funny that people only leave the show when they die. Like, nobody leaves the show because...
And, like, just because, like, oh...
They went to another town or something.
Everything is always resolved. Like, even with the small characters. Remember that, the white-haired one with the watch, Rick's watch?
Yeah.
He was... We found out that he died. right next to Rick.
Yeah.
Was it Rick? Who was in the trough?
Oh, Rick was there, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I really liked that episode. That was really sad. That was like one of my favorite episodes.
The head,
Yeah.
The throat slashing.
Man, life was so good.
Back then.
The termites were so easy. They're so easy to kill off.
It's too too political now with Negan and the different communities and trying to...
Big world, big town for me.
Create treaties and stuff.
Yeah.
Some other news, some other inside scoop news, which I'm excited about. You know, I'm a big Trekkie. I'm a big Star Trek fan, right?
Really?
Yeah. The original.
No, I know that. I'm being sarcastic. You own all of the Star Trek on DVD.
The original series.
Like physical copies.
The unedited original series with the crappy special effects.
Like, I actually did enjoy when we there was this time where we tried watching all of them. Did we ever get through all of them?
The William Shatner School of Acting. I was watching.
Anyway, what's the announcement?
I was going to get sidetracked, but yeah. So they're coming back with a new Star Trek series. You know, there was Star Trek, the old original one. Then they had Star Trek
with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto.
Well, those are the movies, right?
Oh, okay. The show.
So that's still going to stay like that. They're still probably going to make more movies, but this is like not a spinoff, but another time period in the history of Star Trek. So it falls into the past.
Mm.
Was it before or after? I don't know exactly, but maybe before, but the show, the TV, it's a new TV series. They're filming season one right now, and it's called Star Trek Discovery.
How come I wasn't in for casting?
Because you weren't graduated yet.
Hmm.
And so you're like, well, how does this relate to The Walking Dead? Well, the actress who plays Sasha, Sonequa Martin-Green, is actually cast in the show.
Nice!
So she's actually plays a character on Star Trek Discovery.
Woo! So now we have to watch it.
So
I mean, I think we're going to watch it anyway.
Pretty much, yeah. And I think it's going to go on Netflix. it's actually a CBS show, but I think they have an agreement with Netflix that Netflix is going to show it too. It's good that one of our characters is going to be on there, but also it could be bad because it could mean Sasha's going to get killed. Because we all know that actors can't handle having two things happening at the same time. There's scheduling conflicts and stuff like that. They usually can only handle one big project at a time. So it could mean that Sasha might be killed off. So, but I'm really excited about Star Trek Discovery. And I just wanted, I want an ongoing serialized show for Star Trek. Because there's just so many stories that can be told. It's just the Star Trek universe is great for telling stories and stuff. There's just so much stuff to be told. So I think it's fun. We'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. Of course, Mom is. She was like jumping up and down when I told her there's a new Star Trek.
Yeah, because she binge watching it? The old ones?
Next Generation, yeah. And also, before we went on the air, we were talking about The Talking Dead. The actor who plays Ezekiel, his name is Kerry Payton.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about...
Who's bald, by the way.
Spoiler, he's bald. That's a wig he has. He was talking on The Talking Dead about meeting the cast for the first time on set. So this is what he had to say.
When you finally got to work with these people, did it finally click in? Oh, I'm on The Walking Dead now. Like this is actually happening.
Yeah, I had a moment. It was it was weird because I'd been on the show for a while, but I wasn't introduced to anybody. That first week of this show, it was the first time I'd met literally the entire cast with Andy and Tom and Sonequa and Christian and all of these guys I hadn't met. But I was in working mode and I try to be a professional. I try to, you know, it's all business for me, but I was a fan of the show. So that first scene that we shot was actually the scene when we were outside and I'm kind of looking over the kingdom. And then I turned to look at them and I was supposed to say something,
but I don't remember what I was supposed to say.
I just went totally blank. I was so embarrassed. And the funny thing is, Lenny, who I'd been working with for a while, he saw me turn and pause and kind of look at him and go, and he was like, ooh, Kari's about to bring it. And I was like, I got nothing. All of
oh my God, it's a Walking Dead cast.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, Sasha's really mad at me. That's all I could think.
You go from, I am King Ezekiel. Hey, guys!
Yes. Yeah. The look on his face, literally, because I was watching the monitor, and Kari had never missed a line of dialogue for every episode. He's really, like, an astute actor when it comes to his dialogue. So he turned, and he was quiet, and I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to have to do this again. He literally said nothing, and I literally said, he's sitting there going, oh my God, there's Rick. Oh my God, that's Daryl.
It was it's weird. My TV came alive and they're all standing there in like perfect position. Also all really mad at me.
And yeah. Staring at you.
You know, it's back, and Sonequa was kind of in the middle, and she's got the biggest smile when she's not acting. And so she's just so bubbly and full of life. And then I turn and it's just like this death stare. I want to kill you and all your parents. You know, it took me out of it for just a moment.
Yeah, that was funny when I saw that.
Yeah, we don't really watch The Talking Dead anymore.
We used to watch it a lot.
I do like watching it when there's like one of my favorite cast members come on though.
Yeah, me too. I like watching it when there's actors on there and you get to hear like this story here behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are cool, but as far as in depth and the analytical questions, they don't really come up that much on the show.
Mm-hmm. That's why you have to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, that's why you got to listen to The Walking Dead Girl.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends and everyone you know. We love to get new subscribers. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive.